To be here with you at the Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church. Good to see each and every one of you. Glad to see the Martins up from Kite, Georgia. Always good to see them. I was just going to say about this Bible. This particular Bible was one that my dad had. I've taped it up and propped it up, and it's got notes in it that he used in his studies. And when I go through it, and when I use it, I try not to move any of the notes that he had in it. So it's a special Bible to me, because a lot of places, especially some of those favorite scriptures, it has his thumbprints. So it's a special Bible to me. They gave it to me whenever he passed away. And they gave me another one that he had that I had given him. I'd given him a brand new Morocco line leather binder Bible. He never used it. He just used his. He never used it. So they gave me that one back that I gave him, and they gave me his Bible. So it means a lot to me, because it was my dad's. I turned to a portion of scripture just to get right into my subject this morning. You know, I suppose we all thought as we were arriving this morning at this place, this is a special place. It's called the Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, but it's not really the church. The building here is not the church. It's you that make up the members of the Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church. That's the church. This is the meeting house. It's a place where you gather together to what? Worship the Lord. And that's why we're here. We're here to worship the Lord. And what I want to do this morning, the Lord being my helper, is go through some scriptures that show you that Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, was worshiped. He was worshiped from the time he was born. He was worshiped as a babe in a manger. In the flesh, at that time, couldn't even speak. He had to learn to talk. He was worshiped there. He was worshiped in his ministry. He was worshiped when he arose from the grave. He was worshiped when he ascended up into heaven. And John wrote to us in the book of Revelation and saw him on the throne, and he was worshiped in heaven. Worship. That's why we're here. We're here to worship the Lord. Now I want to take my text from Matthew chapter 2. And this goes along pretty good with this time of the year. And I don't know each of you get into the fact that this is December. It's right before Christmas. Now, I don't know whether Jesus was born on December the 25th. Neither does nobody else. But it's a time that's been set aside to worship and adore the birth of Jesus. That's why we have this season. That's why it's Christmas. That's why we get together with our families and fellowship and friendship around the Lord, because Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. I don't know that it was December the 25th. If you studied it out, and there's some scholars that would say it was more likely earlier in the year, around October or something. I don't know. Furthermore, I don't care. The fact is, he was born. And we want to begin with the worship of Jesus at his birth. Now, you've heard the story about the wise men. I saw a sign in somebody's yard in my neighborhood the other day. It said, "Wise men still seek Jesus." Well, that's a good statement, because it's wise for a born-again child of God to seek the Lord and to follow him. If he's talking about wise men being dead alien sinners, he's got a wrong idea about his sign. But if he's talking about a born-again child of God seeking Jesus and serving to follow him and to go after him and to serve him while he lives in this life, that's a good thing. Wise men, it's wise for a born-again child of God to seek and serve the Lord. But we want to begin here in chapter 2 of the book of Matthew. And we'll take our text from this first two scriptures here. The first two of Matthew chapter 2. "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem." Now what I wanted to see in that second verse is, why did these wise men from the east, what were they looking for? What was their objective? Why do they go to Jerusalem? Verse 2 tells us, "Saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." That's why we've all come here this morning. We've come here to worship the Lord. We've come here to do the same thing those wise men that came from the east went to Jerusalem, following that star that led them to Jerusalem. They've come to worship Him. Now, when this all happened, the news got out. King Herod found out about it. There's some king, they're saying, is going to be born. And he was troubled. He didn't like it. I'm telling you, King Herod didn't like another king of the Jews being born, because he was king. He was the only king. And King Herod didn't like it. And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. He gathered all the religious leaders and demanded of them, "Tell me, where is this Christ going to be born?" Well, they didn't know except what the prophets of the Old Testament said. So they told him what the prophets of the Old Testament said. They said the prophets of the Old Testament said that he would be born in Bethlehem. And so what did Herod do then? He gathered the wise men together and he told them, "Go to Jerusalem and go to Bethlehem and find this child that has been born in Bethlehem. And when you found him, come and tell me of him, that I may go also and worship him." I'm telling you one thing. That may be what King Herod said to the wise men, but he had no idea to worship this babe that was lying in a manger there in Bethlehem. He had no idea to worship him. His idea was to find him that he might kill him and take him off the scene. And so Herod sent the wise men to find Jesus. And they went as the king had instructed. And they followed the star. And the star led them right over where the place that Jesus, the infant Jesus, wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger was at. Led them right there. Now this was not any type of typical star that we see way out yonder. This was a star that God provided to lead them to the exact spot in Bethlehem where Jesus was at. And going on down, we'll see. Verse 10 says, "And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshiped him." Can you imagine? Three wise men. The star led them to the place where Jesus was at. And when they got in, the way he was at, they bowed down and they worshiped him. Even a child, a babe in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. And they worshiped him. "And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh." You know, three of the most precious items that you could give anyone in this day and age, gold being the most precious of all the metals, frankincense and myrrh being those spices that were used for incense, and the fragrant smells, these were given as gifts to Jesus. But what I wanted us to see here is, even as a babe, they worshiped Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Going a little further into the ministry of Jesus, Jesus was in his ministry, and in chapter 14 of the book of Matthew, Jesus has performed a miraculous miracle here in this place. He had 5,000 people that followed him, that thronged him, that came to him, that wanted to hear what he had to say. 5,000. And after he had spoken to them, they said, send them away. Jesus said, no, we can't send them away. They're hungry. They need food. The apostle said, we don't have food to feed them. All we've got is 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That's all we got. To feed 5,000, that wouldn't be near enough. But Jesus said, bring them to me. He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and he blessed them and multiplied them. And he fed 5,000 people till they were all full. And he took up 12 baskets full, which was more than they had to begin with. What a miracle. What a God. When we have lunch today, I want you to think about that food that we have. You know, if God doesn't provide it, if when crops are planted, if God doesn't bring forth light and bring it to fruition, we wouldn't have it. It's a miracle from God that we have food to eat because God has provided it. You know, I try never, even when I'm out to eat, ever eat that I don't bow my head and say, thank you, God, for your provision. He fed these 5,000. And when he'd fed these 5,000, he told his apostles to get into a ship and to go to the other side. And he'd deal with the 5,000. He'd send them away. And he sent the 5,000 away after his apostles had gotten into a ship to go to the other side. Jesus went up into a mountain to pray. And when he came down, the apostles were out into the sea on the ship. And there came up a storm out there. Oh, it was a horrible storm. They were afraid the ship was going to sink and they were going to drown. And Jesus went out to where they were at. Did he swim out there? No, he didn't. He walked out there. Jesus walked out on the water, and when they saw him, they thought they saw a spirit. That can't be a man. He's walking on the water. That has to be a spirit. So Peter cries out, the Lord cries out unto them, fear not, it is I. Peter said, Lord, if it be thou, well, Peter, where are you at? The Lord just said it was him. Peter said, Lord, if it's thee, bid me to come on the water. And so when he did, the Lord said, come. What did Peter do when the Lord said, come? He had enough faith to do exactly what the Lord said. So he stepped out on the water, and Peter walked on the water toward Jesus, right out there in the sea, right out there in the midst of the storm. But when he got out there in the storm, and this is a lesson for us, you know, we're God's children. We have his protecting hand. He's promised never to leave us nor forsake us. But sometimes when the world and the storms around the world and the trials and troubles and tribulations come upon us, we forget about Jesus is there with us. Jesus is there, never to leave us nor forsake us, always there to protect us and keep us. Even in the most trying circumstances that you face in life. That's the way it was with Peter. He went out there. And when he went out there, he saw the boisterous waves and the wind. And he got his eye off Jesus. And he got his eye off those waves and the wind. And he began to sink. And when he did, he cried out, Lord, save me. Now, do you think Peter in this instance was worried about whether he was going to heaven or hell? Do you think he was saying, Lord, save me eternally. I need salvation. No, that wasn't what Peter had in mind. Peter was about to drown, and he needed salvation from drowning. And the Lord accused Peter of having little faith, the old vow of little faith. And he reached out, took Peter by the hand, and saved him from drowning. And when Peter and Jesus got on the ship, and the seas calmed. Why? Well, you find in another place in the scripture where Jesus spoke and the wind ceased. What a God. What a Savior that can speak to the winds and they obey. Oh, what a Savior. And they were so amazed. It says here in this particular portion of scripture, in verse 33 here of the 14th chapter of Matthew, then they that were in the ship came and worshiped him. A man that can calm the sea, a man that can walk on water. These are the things they had seen from Jesus. And they worshiped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Ooh, what a statement. To recognize him to be the Son of God who has all power both in heaven and in earth. During his ministry, they worshiped him. Now we want to turn over here to the book of Matthew, where Jesus had been crucified. And there were some women, Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, and others, that went to the sepulchre with spices to anoint the dead body of Jesus. He'd been placed in this tomb. And a big stone had been rolled over in front of it. And so they went there, and I guess And I guess they may have had thoughts, how are we going to roll that stone away from that opening of that grave and get in and to anoint his body? But when they got there, an angel had already rolled the stone away. An angel had rolled it away and was sitting upon the stone and said to them, "Why have you come here seeking Jesus? He is not here, for he is risen." So the angel instructed them after they saw in the grave that Jesus wasn't there. And so the angel instructed them, "Go back and tell his disciples and his apostles that he's not here, he's arisen." And so they followed the instructions of the angel and went back to tell the apostles and the disciples. But on the way, they met Jesus. They met Jesus in his resurrected body. Oh, what a sight that must have been. We thought he was dead, but here he stands, Jesus, in his resurrected body. And when they saw him, they bowed at his feet and held him by the feet and what? Worshipped him. Worshipped him. Yes, he's to be worshipped. No doubt about that. There was another occasion when Jesus was through with his ministry and he'd been resurrected and he spent some time with his apostles. He went out as far as to Bethany. And when he went out there, he told them some things, and then he defied gravity. And he ascended up into heaven. He was received up into a cloud and took his right, seat at the right hand of the throne of God. That's the most exalted place a person could be, at the right hand of the throne of God. That's where Jesus is at right now. Jesus is there on the throne, at the right hand of the throne of God. In the 28th chapter of the book of Matthew, it says, "When the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them, and when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted." Some doubted. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." What a great scripture. That's to us. That's to you, and I trust it's to me. Jesus, who ascended up into heaven, and when they saw him go up, they worshiped him. They worshiped him. One last scripture we'll see found in the book of Revelations was John saw over into heaven and he wrote about it. And he saw a lamb that was on a throne, and he saw a book there. I believe that was the book of life. I believe that's the book that contains all the names of all the children that God the Father gave to His Son before the foundation of the world. Your names are in it. I trust and hope my name is in it. But whenever they looked, they didn't find anybody that was worthy to open that book. Nobody's worthy. Everyone is a sinner. Nobody can be found to open that book but the Lamb that was on the throne. He was worthy. He was worthy. Beginning at verse 6 there of the 5th chapter of the book of Revelation. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God, sent forth unto all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 20 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy. Who is worthy? That Lamb that was on the throne. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And that's what was in that book. The names of all the children of God, out of every nation, out of every kindred, out of every tongue, out of every tribe of people upon the face of the earth. And Jesus was able, the Lamb that was on the throne, to open that book. Why? Because He had paid the price to redeem every single one of them, without the loss of a single one. And they will all be with Him in heaven. And when they saw that and proclaimed that the Lamb was worthy and had redeemed us unto God by His blood, and it says, and every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such is in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessings and honor and glory and power unto Him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped Him. Worshiped Him that liveth forever and ever. Yes, Jesus is worthy of our worship. Jesus was worshiped as a babe lying in a manger. He was worshiped when He calmed the sea and the storms obeyed Him. They worshiped Him. He was worshipped when He arose from the grave and they saw Him in His resurrected body. After they had saw Him crucified, they worshipped Him. He went out as far as to Bethany, ascended up into heaven, received up into a cloud, took His place at the right hand of God, and they bowed down and worshipped Him. And then John tells us of Him sitting on the throne, the Lamb that was worthy, that redeemed us, and the 24 elders there in that place bowed down and worshiped Him. We're here today to worship the Lord. Continue to pray now for Brother Martin. He comes to finish out this morning and to preach for us. I thank you for your attention. May the Lord bless and keep you, my prayer.
So pity, Lord, oh, Lord, forgive that a repenting rebel live. Are not thy mercies large and free? May not a sinner trust in
Cruising.